You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, I walked the dog, washed the car, and took the kids to practice. All that's left to do is get new summer clothes for my family.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, they'll love Old Navy summer styles. And right now, during Old Navy's thank you event, get 30% off your entire purchase, 40% off when you use your Old Navy card.
40% off?
That's right. Don't have a card? Open one today in store and save like a super mom at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
It pays to be mom. I'm going to Old Navy now.
High Fashion. Old Navy. Valid 5/10 to 5/14. 40% offer subject to credit approval. See stores for details and exclusions.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our show today. Coach Rick, Think Outside the Diamond. We have a great guest that's going to be calling in, and this is a very interesting story. Last week, somebody actually just came to my studio and actually happened to have free time and just kind of popped out of the sky. He called it like a angel falling from the sky, I would say. But he came in, and his name was Bobby Rowan, and he introduced himself, and he was from Illinois and happened to be in town. And it was kind of a great conversation, and learned a little bit about Bobby. And I'm like, hey, Bobby, you need to get on the show because you have a lot of information you could provide my audience in the training lab. And he said, sure. So after, talking to Bobby for an hour and conversing and learning a little bit about him, I want to get him on the show today. He's going to share with you guys. He's going to tell you a little bit about himself. But he's a coach, USA head instructor and coach for USA Baseball in Illinois. And he owns and runs Rowan Baseball and Softball Academy in St. Charles, Illinois. And what a great guy and what a great load of information he provided me when he was in town here in Naples. So it was a fantastic conversation. And like I said before, when he came and he called and he was talking to him, I'm like, man, you got to talk. We got to share this information. So he'll be calling in here any minute now. And when he does, I want you guys to just kind of be a sponge here and absorb some of the things he says, because he's had some success. He's been doing this since 1978, I believe. And he was on the coaching staff of the 1986 Arizona State championship team, national championship team. So he's been around a lot of good baseball people, knows his stuff. And I want you just to be a sponge here and absorb, the information he's going to provide you. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get him on the show, and we're going to introduce him right now. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Glad to be on.
Awesome. Now, how's everything going over there in St. Charles?
Well, it's a little cooler than we like right now. You're kind of in a little more of a fall weather. Had a lot of cancellations as far as games, but man, when they cancel games, they got to go somewhere to hit. So it's good for me.
That's right. That's good. That's really good. Got to keep those guys going,
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell the audience a little bit about your background and, what you do and how you got into it, how long you've been doing it. Because, I know all this information, but I'm telling you, it was impressive when we sat down and spoke. So I wanted you to share that with the audience.
Well, I appreciate that, Rick. I'm 62 years old. I've been doing this for about 37 years now. Without going into when everything started, I coached college baseball for 13 years. I started out at Cochise Community College in Douglas, Arizona, in a highly competitive Arizona JC conference, and was able to coach under two outstanding gentlemen, Mike Lane, for 1 year, went on to all kinds of greatness at North Alabama, and actually in the field after him, and then Bo Hall, who probably is in more Hall of Fames than I've got fingers. So I was able to go was under those two guys for 3 years. And then I was lucky enough to get the GA position at University of Arizona. And luckily I was on the 86 staff and won the national championship, beat Florida State 10-2. And the only team to beat us, believe it or not, is the Miami Hurricanes, Rick. That was the only team to beat us that year in that College World Series. So you guys did a good job on us. But then after that, I was an assistant coach in Elmhurst College, and then I wanted to be a head coach at two JCs. At the same time, I was Sochi scout for the Texas Rangers and the Arizona Diamondbacks, working with the catchers in the area, the prospects at the prospect camps and stuff. And all this time, still giving lessons, still doing training. And then I got involved with USA Baseball for about 5 years. And I was a coach and a scout in the Great Lakes area for the National Team Identification Series. And about 2006, I left the YMCA. I was the president of two YMCAs, and I left the YMCA to do this full-time. I started Rolling Baseball Softball Training Incorporated, and it's just been going great guns ever since. But I've been lucky enough to work with a lot of different types of players in that. You know, back when at Arizona, I was able to work with Chip Hale, Tommy Henzo, Dave Roy in the big leagues, Kevin Long, who's the hitting coach at the New York Mets. I was a besides being the hitting coaches on the varsity, I was a JV coach, and Kevin played for me, so I know Kevin. And so it's been a blessed life. I mean, it's been great doing what you love.
That's unbelievable. What experience, you know. And you know, along the way, I'm sure you made some great friendships, and I think that's what a lot of kids they don't realize is, you know, when you're playing a sport, you know, it's not just the wins and losses and the teams and the championships and the trophies you bring home, but it's the lifelong friends you make. And I think, your just explanation is amazing.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because my daughter is a college coach. She's up at St. Cloud State, and they just got knocked out of their postseason. And so I did a nice little post on Facebook where, you know, I mentioned that, you know, it's not the – you know, the memories that you have after this year aren't going to be the days you went 3-for-4 or you threw a no-hitter. It's the days that what you're going to miss is when are those smiling faces you see every day, those joking around and laughing, having a good time, and being a part of a family that only you know of. And those are the memories. I mean, let's face it, Rick, every time you talk to anybody that's left the game, any game, they don't talk about the exhilaration on the field. They talk about the camaraderie that they're going to miss, just seeing those guys every day.
Yep, absolutely. It's so true, and it's the friendships that you make that last, and the memories
absolutely.
That you make, and the connections. Yeah,
no doubt about it.
That's great. So, what would you say your specialty is? Like, would it be hitting? Would it be, you know, catching? What would you say you do, like, you know, mainly?
My biggest thing, hitting is obviously my biggest thing. I've always been involved in hitting. And I also was a catcher in college, and I also played infield and outfield. And the Diamondbacks had me, the Rangers, they had me working with the area with catching. So catch is kind of my expertise when it comes to that. At the University of Arizona, I was the infield coach. Jerry Kendall, of course, one of the all-time great Hall of Fame coaches, one of the few guys to play on a NCAA national championship and coach a national championship. Was with the Minnesota Twins and the Cleveland Indians for ages. So I was with the infield there, so I got infield on me. I know outfield. But one of the things that I think that really helped me was my first year at Cochise. I was with Mike Lane. I worked with the catchers and I worked with the hitters, and he had the pitchers and the infielders. So when he left to go North Alabama, then Bo Hall comes in. The first thing he says to me, he said, "So what do you work with?" I go with the catchers. He goes, "Good, you got the pitchers too." I said, "I got the pitchers." He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I've never pitched a baseball in my life." He goes, "Well, you got them." So I had to learn pitching. So believe it or not, I also end up being pitching coach at three colleges too. So I work with pitchers too. So when it comes to, if you're asking me what I can, I work with everything in baseball, base stealing. We stole 242 bases in 42 games at Kishwaukee College and broke the national record when I was there. So I can teach base stealing, I can teach hitting, I can teach throwing, I can teach everything. The only thing I can't teach is the windmill pitch and fast pitch softball. I even had to teach myself how to do the slap hitting, as far as teaching slap hitting with my softball. Because I'm going to tell you something, Rick, I started on this business, it was probably 90% baseball, 10% softball. Now softball is going up to be about maybe 50-50. I mean, fast pitch softball is huge. So I had to kind of evolve into this kind of thing, and so I feel real comfortable working with pitchers too.
That's unbelievable. That's great. So you're pretty diverse, and that's great because someone kind of comes to you, you can, you know, really if they have any issues other than hitting, you can really address those, and that's kind of like nice.
I feel comfortable.
That's good.
That's great. So let's go back to the hitting aspect and, you know, talk a little bit about that. You know, what's some of the major and some of the, I'd say, the most common mistakes that you see a lot of hitters are making these days? And what is it, and what do you do to try to help them get over that that little hump?
Well, you know, in my teaching, as far as mechanics go, I've got six areas of hitting that I emphasize. I work on the stance, the load, the contact point, the extension, elevation of the swing, and the finish. Those six areas I focus on. But what I really, really get hard on are mainly three things, and that is my three H's. One is the head, okay? Second one is the hands,
yep.
And the third H is the hips. So let's start with the head, okay? I'll get kids to come, you know, first thing a parent comes to me, because let's face it, Rick, you and I both know, it's the parents and the kids. It's that family team that
yep.
comes in the place and wants to train with you. First thing, you know, normally people say, well, you know, he's not hitting the ball, he's striking out, blah, blah, blah. And so you got folks think about who he's going to be pulling, or she's pulling her head. So when it comes to the head, I start working on tracking the baseball. Because a lot of kids don't even realize, as you know, that point is where you got to start seeing that baseball. And I ask them, I say, what's the first muscle that you use when you hit? Your hands. Nope. Your feet. Nope. Your hips. Nope. It's your eyes. The first muscles
yep.
you work on is the eyes. You just see that baseball come out of reach point. You know, if you really work at it, you can see that wrist turn for the curveball. You see the ball come out of the hand for the fastball. You see the ball jump out of the hand for the curveball. All that good stuff. But the thing that they don't get is they don't understand exactly what tracking the baseball, the contact point is. Because they think they're looking down, but they're looking down out in front. They're looking down over past the
yep.
past home plate. And so they're missing out on that contact point. That's, to me, the most important part of my six mechanical parts. Now, here's what I do. I will take an object, okay, a Gatorade bottle, softball, but anything other than the baseball, because that's what they're going to be looking at when they hit. And what I'll do is I'll get them in their stance, and let's say we're going to be working on the ball down the middle. So I'll put the Gatorade bottle on the ground right in line with their front foot. Okay? Now, I'm at a front toss BP distance as far as pitching. What I tell them is this. I'm going to throw the ball. Okay? You're going to track that baseball, and you're not going to hit that ball until it's directly over that Gatorade bottle. So now they're waiting. Okay? They're waiting for the ball. And now they're focusing on that. Now, here's the key, though. I say, when you're done hitting that ball, your head's going to remain on that Gatorade bottle. Because most kids think they're keeping their head down, but they're not. They're pulling their head
yeah.
at contact point. They're not missing it. Because remember, when the ball's thrown, your bat's engaged on that. And you might get under it or get over it. So what they're doing is they're swinging and keeping their head down. And all of a sudden, their contact point improves. And then the strikeouts go down because of that. And that seems to work real good. I've actually had a couple college kids that we did that to, and they got a little bit upset. I said, well, what's the matter? I go, well, I can't take a Gatorade bottle to the whole plate in the game. So we just tell them just to,
yeah.
to snap tap that bat in the dirt and make their little hole right there. So tracking that baseball
That's great.
Is one of the biggest ones. Another thing I do is I really emphasize, Rick, wood bats with all my kids. Even my softball girls got wood bats. Because, you know, number one is the sweet spots is smaller. Okay. Number two is you got the weight factor. You know, you got a lot of kids who are swinging minus 10s, minus 11s, up until, you know, they get them to that famous 14-year age where you got to have a minus 5, and that's it. And, of course, you go to high school, you get a minus 3. So you got the younger kids got a weight factor now. But the other thing is that I'll take those baseball bats, those wood bats, Rick, and I'll have them. They tell me, I'll ask them, where's the sweet spot on this bat? I'm not going to show it to them. I want them to find it. And they show me. I go, okay. So we take it, and I said, that's good. So we take a piece of tape, and we make a ring around it with the tape. And what they do is now they have to focus on hitting the ball off the tape. So now I'm forcing them to track the baseball, and they're keeping their head down to try and see if they get that ball on the tape. And I get a lot of parents that go, come on, Bobby, are you kidding me? You actually expect them to hit that ball on that tape every time? I go, of course not, but they're trying. And then all of a sudden the parent goes,
wow.
I get it. So we're working on that kind of thing. You know, another thing I did is I took a lacrosse stick and I cut it off to about 32 inches. And I'll toss lacrosse balls to them. What they have to do is they have to swing and catch the lacrosse ball in the basket and then drop it. Of course, what that does is now it helps them track the baseball to that basket, but it keeps them from rolling their hands over and that kind of thing too, because then, you know, they're hitting the edge of the basket and that basket itself. So that's what they do for tracking the baseball. Now, the other thing
that's great
about the other thing about the brain, though, that we forget is this, is that you and I both teach speed. You and I both teach swing fast, whether it's your top hand fast, or you got to have some miles per hour. Because remember, everything now, Rick, is exit point off the bat, exit point off the bat, bat speed. That's how they're judging you now, okay? So we're teaching these kids how to swing fast. So I get a lot of parents come to me, I go, well, how's he doing? Well, he's not doing very good, Bobby. Well, what's wrong? He goes, well, he's not hitting the ball like he does at you. I go, then I ask him this, Rick. I say, is he slowing his bat down when he hits? And they go, yeah. How come he does that? So I'll immediately look at the student. I'll say, what's the worst thing that happens when you hit? And he goes, well, striking out. I go, correct. So what he's doing is he's not swinging fast. He's swinging slower so he doesn't strike out. And he doesn't even realize it. So you have to train the brain now, see. One of the great books that's out there, if you're a coach, is The Inner Game of Tennis. The Inner Game of Tennis teaches you that the brain cannot fail. It refuses to fail. So I'm telling these kids, if you go up the bat, the brain's saying, oh, God, don't do what Bobby does. Don't tell, no, don't swing fast. You're going to look stupid, okay? Now, the second thing is this, and this is kind of a little phenomenon that's happened. I don't think it ever happened to you. But I'll get kids that come in every week, especially in the summer, travel ball. Well, how'd it go? Well, I didn't do very well. What happened? Well, the pitching was too slow. I have yet to have a kid tell me that the pitching was too fast, okay? So here's what I say to them. I go, okay. Well, then how come you can hit batting practice so well? And they don't have an answer. And here's the reason why. I'll ask them this. Why is batting practice so easy? And they'll say the number one answer. This is Family Feud, ding, 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 ding. The number one answer is this. Because there's no pressure. True. But here's the reason why. The reason why batting practice is so easy. Are you ready for this? It's because you assume every pitch is a strike. Now, I got this from – now, the next part I got – I'll give credit where credit's due. One of the all-time great hitting coaches with ASU was Benny Hines. Okay? And Benny Hines told all those guys at ASU, Barry Bonds and all them, assume every pitch is a strike. And the reason why you're successful is that if every pitch being a strike, it's yes, 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 crush, yes, 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 crush, yes, 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 crush. The problem is that when these kids go from BP to the game, they're off instead of being on. Now they go to is it? Oh, shoot. Okay? So if you assume every pitch is a strike, your body is on, just let it go. And if it's not a strike, turn it off. It's easier to be on and off, turn off than off and turn on. I'm going to tell you, Rick, I've done clinics all over this area, all over this five-state area. And I bet you if you ask them, what's the one thing most coaches say they take away, it's that right there. It's teaching their kids to assume every pitch is a strike.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny?
Absolutely.
Funny story. I used to tell these high school kids, I'll ask them, okay, what's the worst thing that happened? Miss the ball. What's the thing that happened? So we're working on that. So you're working on training the brain. You go, what's the worst thing that happened? Miss the ball. So we worked on that, okay? So one time I'm going to ask a 9-year-old kid. I said, see what he says. Just a 9-year-old kid. AJ, what's the worst thing that happened when you get in the batting cage, when you go to hit? You know what he says? He says to me, get hit in the nuts.
What?
I go, okay, what's the second worst thing that could happen when you get in the batting cage? So that first age, the head, as you can understand, is you got it's not only just that you know, tracking that baseball to the point of contact and keep that head down, but you gotta work on that brain a little bit too to try to get that confidence to hits, okay?
Yeah.
Now
yep.
if we're continuing on now with the problems I see, the next thing is the hands. Now you can't argue the eyes are most important because you gotta see the baseball. But to me, the hands are such an important thing, and I got this from Rod Carew. Rod Carew, one time, I was listening to him, and because when I was at Coach East College, we used to go up to, imagine this, we used to go north, okay, for spring break, okay, because we went to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to go up to Phoenix and play some of the minor league teams, and I got a chance to listen to Don Baylor once, and I had a chance to listen to Rod Carew once talking to some hitters. And Rod held his hands up in front of these guys and goes, you hit with these. You hit with your hands. And he's right. Because that's what holds the bat, okay? So to me, the hands are so important. And we kind of talked about this when we met the last time, is that one thing I always, when I get a kid that comes to hit, okay, the first time. The one thing I see, I bet it's 95-90% is that they don't know how to load their hands. They don't know how to get that separation from the body, okay, where they're going to build bat speed. Now, the biggest thing is that they look and they go, Bobby, come on, please. You know, I've heard of hitting the baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports, so why do I want to increase the distance to the baseball? And you have to, and that's what's holding them back a lot. So they, when they're in tight, see, they can use that. They can use a lot of core and everything, okay? So I explained to them a rubber band theory. If I'm gonna make this rubber band real fast, and I'm gonna snap it, am I gonna pull it back 2 inches and make it go fast? I'm gonna pull it back 20 inches and make it go fast. Of course, they pick the further one. Well, there you go. That's how you get the bat speed. That's how you get the. So we got to teach them to load. Okay, get the hands back.
Yep.
So what I do is, and I get a lot of kids that can't do that. So what I do is, I do what I call my Albert Pujols drill. Now, if you got Albert Pujols pitcher, or you ever seen him hit, you know that Albert's got his hands already back in the zone. He's got his hands. Because that knob of that bat's got to go past a little bit past that rear leg. If you look at any pitcher of big leaguers when they load, and like I showed you all those pitchers like Harper and all those guys, I showed you when I was with you.
Yep.
But
yep.
Albert keeps his hands back when he starts. So I get the kids to feel what it's like to start from back there at first. Let me get that going. And then the top hand drill. When we do the top hand drill, it's a great drill not only to help you speed up the hand, to help you take that top hand of the baseball, to help you stay inside the ball with that knob. But a lot of times, the first thing a kid does when he goes top hand, he loads it back. It's like a tennis, and I call it the tennis theory. You put a tennis racket in the kid's hand, he's going to take it back and whack a tennis ball. He's not going to hold it real close to himself. So that's the drill I do for getting that loading down. The other thing
that
is that we get a lot of kids that drop their hands. See, kids start at the top. Kids, I'm really big, Rick, on keeping the hands at the top of the strike zone for this reason. Besides the fact that you can build gravitational pull when you hit, the other thing is that when you drop your hands at the lower than the top of the strike zone, you got to worry about three pitches. So you got to worry about the ball, above the hands, at the hands, and below the hands. Because believe me, if I'm going against you and you're dropping your hands, we're not even worrying about breaking balls. We're going to throw a four-seam fastball right at your hands, and you're not going to be able to do anything. Maybe pop it up, but you're not going to be able to get through it. So if I keep the hands at the top of the strike zone, all you got to worry about is one pitch, a ball below your hands, okay? Now, the other thing about dropping your hands is, I want you to envision this now, when you drop your hands, your elbows will flare out when you drop your hands. Now, when that bottom arm elbow flares out and it's pointing at the pitcher, you're going to pull the bat through the zone, and that's where your pop-ups come from. That's where the head can come out, okay, because that shoulder's pulling out with it. So we want to keep that elbow down. If you look at all good hitters at the point of contact, their left arm is straight, and their bottom arm is straight, and their top hand is bent, and the elbow close to the body. If that elbow bends, it's going to pull that bat across their body, and now they're going to either hit the ball off the end of the bat, like I say, pop up. Okay, so I found this out late. I was coaching for all those years trying to cure the drop in the hand. I mean, there used to be the Gordy Gillespie vest where your hand stayed up, all kinds of stuff. Put the bat on your shoulder, don't drop your hand. And, Rick, here's what I finally did. I use it. And this is how I use it. Because we want quick fixes in baseball, especially here in the North, okay? We don't have you guys, you can be outside all the time. So here's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
If a kid's dropping his hands 3 to 4 inches, I raise the bat 3 to 4 inches. Because he will not drop at 6 inches. He'll drop the bat right where it's supposed to be anyway. And I have found that works 100%. 100%. So
wow.
I got kids with their hands up a little high, okay, but they drop it right where they're supposed to when they load. They don't drop it below, and they're cured. And for the most part, it ends up being where they just, now, and about maybe after maybe 2 or 4 times with them, they'll keep their hands where they're supposed to. So that's how I fix dropping the hands. Now, when I mentioned pulling the elbow, okay, the best drill for that, to keep you from pulling that elbow, is what I call the power V drill. And all the power V is the extension after contact. I mean, when you look at, there's some great photographs, of course, of batters sitting back on their backside, and both their arms are forming a V and straight, and the bat's pointing right at the pitcher. That's the extension part of the swing. You can't do that if that left elbow's pulling it. So you have to use your top hand. You have to snap. See, the thing about the word snap is that I used to say throw the top hand, blop, you know, punch the top hand. I used to throw a lot out. That wasn't a very good imagery for kids, snapping the top hand. One of the things I use is I got Miggy Cabrera on film and in slow motion, and he's swinging. And right where his bat is parallel to the ground, okay, when the barrel's back, I stop it. I go, well, how is he going to get his top hand? How is he going to get the bat hand of the ball? We can't pull it there. and you see his top hand snap it to the point of contact through the extension, power being finished. One time, I was working with his team, this softball team, fast pitch to high school team, and when I got done with them all winter, and they were in the season, and they're over in the cage next to me hitting off the machine, and not one of them hit the machine. Of course, I'm looking at him, right, while I'm doing my lesson with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell's going on? So I said to the kid I'm working with, hey, excuse me for 1 minute. I went over and I said, Coach, can I talk to them? They go, sure, Bobby, go ahead. I said, girls, I want you to do power V drill. And the power V drill is where you go through your whole swing, but you snap it and stop with your bat pitcher. You don't finish your swing. And all of a sudden, line drive. But they were not using that top end to get through. So the power V is a really good drill. You know the fence drill, right? Where you put, you know how to do the fence drill.
Yep.
The fence drill is a really great drill to stay inside the ball, keep it from casting out, and also get you through that. And then also, I told you about the golf drill. I toss the ball between the knee and the shin, and tell them to golf the ball out. That's to get kids to use their hands, because you got to snap that bat head through to get to do that. So that. I spent a lot of time with the hands, Rick, a lot of time with the hands. Now the last stage, the last stage is the hip. And we have gone from telling kids to squish the bug. Remember the old days we said squish the bug? To simply get the kid to pivot on the back foot. Remember, the bad thing about that is that, yes, they are finishing their shoelaces at the pitcher that we want, but they're forcing energy into the ground. They're not taking the bat the body into the baseball. So now, great photography, all these coaches have seen these guys hit, and they're on their tiptoe, right? So a lot of high school coaches saw that, and what they did was is they simply told their kid to get on your toe. Well, you're not doing anything with a hit there. So what you need, what I teach my kids is you need to drive your knee. Your rear knee needs to drive forward. And so the drills we use for that is, you know, I use the standard. I use a standard where you put the bat behind your back and hook it with your elbows, and you raise the tee to where it's supposed to be, the height of where that bat is, and you work on pivoting or driving that knee into the ball. I use that drill off a tee. Another drill I do is that knee drive drill where you swing and walk through with your knee. But because I'm so emphasizing with the hips, with the hands, and I want you to make sure the hands are incorporated in it because that's how you hit a baseball, I will do my hip pop drill. Is I have them get in their stance with their bat, and when they swing, they're going to tuck their elbow, their top hand elbow, the rear elbow into the body like they're supposed to contact, and then they got their arm straight with the bottom arm, and I simply tell them to pop the hip, and they take that bat into that tee with their hands and their hips. So I like that drill a lot. As a matter of fact, I was telling you that I've got four tee drills where they don't even hit through the ball. They work on that contact point. They got their tape on the barrel. They make when they hit that tape is right over the top of that where the ball was of that tee. But those are my three areas. Those are my three areas as far as I think I see a lot of kids. Now, if you want to go even further, we get kids that overstride. They lunge. They step out of the box. I have been really successful with this, Rick, is I don't teach a stride to the ages 10, 11, 12. Okay? I don't teach a stride. What I do is the great Gary Ward, Oklahoma State University, told us that your bat length will dictate your stride. So we get at their bat length.
Yep.
And what I do is I do a lower body load along with the upper body load we talked about. When I take, we take the lead knee. If you're right-handed, it's your left knee, and you turn your left knee in as you hit. And when you do that, that rotates the hips back. So now we're looking at a little more rotational style hitting. We load the hands back, and we simply just fire that right knee, that rear knee, like we just talked about on the hip. And you get those hands to the ball. And you know what? These kids now, they don't have to worry about when to step, how to step, all that kind of stuff. As you know, you've seen this, the biggest thing right now, the Josh Donaldson thing, the Joey Bautista stuff, where they have a real open stance and they try to get to a score stance. That's hard to do. That's a lot of movement. And what these kids don't realize is that now all the pitchers are going to see them inside because they're moving towards the plate. So I take that away, and we just work on that. And then if they want to stride, we just pick it up and put it down. And that's the biggest – that's what I do for that overstriding thing. So I got other –
That's awesome, yeah.
What we talk about as far as problems I see, hitting the curveball. That, you know, we get that all the time. Bob, I can't hit the curveball. If you got a pitching machine in a facility, Here's how you cure the Here's how you cure the curveball. Because we had one high school here, and I can't understand it. We had one high school in the area. They used the curveball as the tryout machine. Imagine. Hmm. If nobody gets the curveball, who are you going to pick, right? So anyway, so we get ready for tryouts, you know. And so here's how I teach the curveball. It's curveball. We put the machine at curveball, you know, mode, right? And I tell the kid to do this. Mm-hmm. I'll have a kid who comes in, he'll miss. Because remember, when you miss a curveball, you never miss under. You always miss over it, correct? Because the ball drops, okay?
That's right.
So this kid's missing, this kid's missing every ball. And Rick, I'm going to tell you something right now. This happens every time. Kid misses the ball, misses the ball, misses the ball, misses the ball. So the machine's on curveball mode. I say, I want you to bunt the ball to the opposite way. So he bunt, we bunt a whole bucket. Bunt, 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 bunt. Now, what he doesn't realize he's doing is he's watching exactly, and he's putting the bat exactly where he's supposed to hit it. So he's training not only where he's supposed to hit it, but he's training the brain. And we get down the bunt, and let's hit. He goes, we get down the bunt, and I go, let's hit. And every kid goes, what do you mean let's hit? No words of wisdom? No, I go, no, just hit. And all of a sudden, he's crushing. He can't understand. I go, because you taught yourself. By visualizing that ball, seeing it come in, and hitting, bunting the other way. So I curve bunts that way, by bunting the other way. Hitting the outside pitch is a tough one, too, because it's really out of the kid's comfort zone. Because I train, in the winter, I'll train from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., 10U all the way to 12U in St. Charles here, in its good baseball program. And when we work on the outside pitch, you know, that's hard for kids. The kids actually think, even in the high school age, Rick, kids think, they say, oh, hit the outside pitch, slow your bat down. No. It's the same bat speed you have on the ball down the middle inside, only a different location. They don't understand that. So I was thinking to myself, well, wouldn't it be great, obviously, if you could throw a baseball at a kid and just have the ball stop at the contact point so they can focus on hitting the ball the other way. And this is what I came up with. I'll take a kid and put him at the plate, and I'll put a tee on the outside part of the plate based upon where he's at. And a lot of times, I'll even make it tough on him. I'll put it in the middle of the body, okay, on the outside corner. And he has the bucket of balls, okay? And then I'll be throwing balls to him, but I'll be doing it like this. I'll take the L frame, and I'll line up the net of the L frame in line with the tee. Right, and I've got maybe a couple balls. And what I'll do is I'll be the pitcher, and I'll throw the ball, but, of course, I'll throw it into that net in front of me. So now he sees the ball release out of my hand, and it stops in front. And then when the ball hits that net, then he looks and hits the ball the other way. So it's as close as I could get to actually throwing the ball and stopping it. And that's really been successful for me, teaching those kids how to go the other way and use that, hit that outside pitch. Because for most kids, that's just completely out of their comfort zone. And last but not least, proper finish. I found this out.
Mm-hmm.
If you finish properly, front, you know, you get through your swing, okay, and your head's down, number one. Your front toe is 45 degrees open a little bit. You've got your front leg is firm. Your back leg is bent. Your head's in line with your rear knee. You're stacked the back side. Okay, your rear foot, shoelace to point the pitcher. Okay, and then this is important. And the knob is at the pitcher, because if your knob is at the pitcher, that means you use your top hand. I found so many times when kids finish properly, they crush the ball. And the reason why is that when you finish properly, you've got to be doing things correctly to get there. And that happens a lot.
Right.
We just work on finishing properly.
That's right.
That's what I see a lot right now. That's what I see a lot as far as kids and hitting and the problems they have and how I cure them.
Definitely. Definitely. And do you use that tire too? Is that good for, like, what do you use that for?
Power. That tire I sent you a picture of? Okay. I've got a heavy bag that I use the hit with, okay? And the heavy bag, I use the heavy bag for the two hands, and they just swing it through the ball. Now, that puts them in the – because to me, of all the six important phases of hitting that we talked about, the six mechanical areas, and you can't argue this, the most important is the contact point. Because the contact point will determine where and how hard you hit that baseball, okay? Yeah. And so that heavy bag, I make sure when I do the heavy bag, I make sure that the heavy bag is lined up with their front foot so they're going into it. So the heavy bag teaches you how to make proper contact. Now, the tire that you're talking about, I got this idea that, because you're in the fitness, you're certified. I was a personal trainer.
Yeah.
The tire that lays down on the ground, and you use sledgehammers. I understand that whole thing, that whole concept of using a sledgehammer, of power, exertion, right hand, left hand, but it's not a baseball bat, okay? And what I did was, is I had a guy, one of my clients is into steel, and what he did was, is I talked to him about this. I said, man, you know what I'd love to have? I'd love to have a rebar, solid rebar, 33 inches, so I can use that. So hit a tire. And so what he did was, is he made me, like I showed you, for anywhere from 7.3 pounds, four of them, up to 14.6 pounds. We got the tire angled against the wall like that, and we hit that side with it. And I tell you what, we incorporate that in the winter. We don't do it during the season, but we do that in the winter, training to get ready for the season. And the thing about using the weighted bats and the thing about using rebar and heavy stuff is that, yes, it builds the forearms. Yes, it makes the bat light, okay? But when those kids go to the plate and they hit, they have the greatest look on their face because they know that they can crush anything now. The confidence just soars. Yeah. That bat feels so good in their hands. So that's what that tire's for, And I got a lot of crazy stuff, too, that we use. But, you got to be innovative. I mean, you got to do something that's different that's going to keep the kids' interest. I mean, you know how it is in fitness. You know how it is in personal training. You don't do the same thing every time. Every week you try to change something. So it gets that brain motivated. Also, the endorphins are firing a little bit more. They're a little more excited. So we kind of try to do this. I try to kind of do the same thing where I'm at right now. And
that's great.
That's
awesome. Yeah, that's the key. It's just to change it up and get keep kids interested and. And like you said, be creative. I think that's the thing we get as sometimes coaches, we can get, or in trainers too, but we just get stale. We use the same thing.
Exactly.
That's why it's comfortable for us to do that, but we need to be creative. We need to think more. And I think that's great. When I saw that tire, what you just explained is a great concept, and it's different, and that's the key.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because it's,
that's great.
Real
quick, one more question. Kevin Long, you said you were friends with him. Tell me a little bit about maybe what did you learn from Kevin, or what has he shared with you with hitting that's really stuck with you through the years?
Kevin Long's the drill I use from Kevin is the home run drill, okay? The home run drill is done like this. I want you to imagine taking an L frame, okay, and turning it and putting it across the plate, okay? So when you're standing there, it's like the fence drill. Like when you're standing there and you're looking at the pitcher, then you look right in front of you, there's that L frame, okay? That net right there. And what that does is that keeps the bat, Robbie Cano, Kevin said Robbie Cano, he had to tell him, no, we're not doing it today. He loved this drill so much because what it does is it keeps you inside the baseball. It gets you so explosive that the ball just jumps off the bat. And, the other thing is, just watching Kevin and, the thing about Kevin, though, and when we're a little bit different, is Kevin's more of a bottom-hand guy and I'm more of a top-hand guy. And that's how kind of was in Arizona. Arizona, Jerry Stitt was a bottom-hand guy and I was a top-hand guy. We put them both together, and we won a national championship. Because Kevin was A-Rod's guy. I mean, Kevin was A-Rod's personal kind of guy. So, and it was all lead arm extension. Charlie Lau lead arm extension, Walt Hraniak lead arm extension, and through photography and stuff like that. I believe it was a top hand, but and that's what makes baseball great. When you have these little arguments, but. The home run drill is probably the one that I really use that Kevin uses.
That's great.
Real quick, I like about Kevin. Let me interrupt you. The other thing I like about Kevin is this: he got the slip drill. You know the inside you got the ball inside and the ball outside, and then he'll say, you know, you'll go ready, and then he'll say, you know, inside, you hit the ball inside. And then you put the ball on the tee. He goes, okay, you low, you go outside, hits the ball outside, right? We all have done that drill.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that Kevin does I've never seen before is Kevin will add hold or take, and that causes the guy to stop. So where are your hands when you stop? Are they floating? Are they staying back? Is your body leaning? So I thought that was great.
Yeah.
That he has that take. Yeah, so I never – so, you know, that's another thing I got from Kev.
That's awesome. I like that a lot. Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of times you're right. We just say, you know, in, out, inside, outside, or whatever. And
exactly.
When they take a pitch. Yeah. When they take a pitch, you can tell a lot on a hitter, you know. And
oh,
I think that's where when they take a pitch. Yeah.
Oh my God. I think one of the coolest things I remember learning from the White Sox. I was at the White Sox for a while in there as one of their summer coaches. They brought one of the big things here is the White Sox Bulls Academy. And the White Sox Academy will go everywhere and do camps for kids in all the areas, through park districts and YMCAs and stuff like that. And what they did was, when they first started this, was they brought certain junior college coaches in, like Bob Simmons from Triton, you know, where Kirby Puckett played, and Lance Johnson and that, and myself, and a couple others. And they picked our brains as far as what we teach in our camps. So let's face it, we all run camps this summer to fundraise. I mean, all my camps were done so I could pay my coaches. I mean, I had a salary.
Right.
They had nothing, so that's how they got their money.
And
one of the things I learned about being with the White Sox is that the White Sox emphasize that when you take a pitch, you look down. Look at the contact point when you take a pitch. Instead of just looking at the pitch, you're like, okay, I'm going to take it. And that struck me so much because think about it. If you're continually looking down, even when you're taking a pitch, where you think you're going to look when you hit, you're going to look down.
Right.
So I took that kind of tip with me as far as taking the pitch. But, yeah, I mean, you watch those kids and their hands will drop or their bat will float. And now think about it. If they're full, they're in no position to hit right now.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
See a curveball, somebody asks, oh, my God, so there it is. And all of a sudden they're floating, they're giving up on it. Well, heck, you got to stay back. You got to be in that, you know, that your hands got to be separated, just like you were in the launch in the load position. So, yeah,
that's
so
right.
Take drill,
that's absolutely right.
Throwing that take, and I thought it was ingenious.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that a lot because it's true. It's what you do, you know, when you take a pitch, you can tell a lot what's going on. And the other team, the other coaches, they pick up on that too, you know.
Absolutely. But in true essence, though, I think that, you know, learning how to hit a baseball is tough. But once you get the mechanics down, you know, the body will be able to repeat it every single time. What gets involved too much, what makes you make mistakes, is the brain. The brain starts getting involved, and all of a sudden you start questioning yourself, and is it a strike, blah, blah, blah. So I think one of the frontiers we went from teaching how to hit a baseball, and then the next big thing was what you're doing. And what I'm doing, too, is we're incorporating the fitness aspect, the training aspect, the speed and agility.
Yep.
That was the next frontier. Because think about it. Here we are. When you're up here in the north, right, what you've got is that you've got what used to be just, you know, all seasonal. Baseball was, you know, from March to whoever. Well, now baseball goes, you know, from January, because now all the travel teams are indoors training. Okay, so what are you going to do? Okay, you might be able to hit two nights a week, and you might be able to do defense maybe one or two nights a week, but what else can you do? Well, that's where the fitness came in. That's where the speed and agility came in. That's where the strength training came in. So that was the frontier. While we're doing that now, I think the biggest frontier is that brain. I mean, to me, if you can work as hard as you can, any kid out there, on recognizing a baseball, recognizing the pitch, what the pitch is, you're going to be at such an advantage because now you can prepare for that as Benny High has called it, that 60-foot, 6-inch race where the ball's racing and you're racing to get to the proper finish contact. One thing I thought was really cool. Baseball America, which is the Bible for all of us, right? We all read Baseball America. They had an edition that was was about management and how to get into baseball. And what this one executive said was talking about being a scout. Not necessarily being a scout, but learning the game. Be a scout, okay? And here's what he said to do. He said, I want you to think about purchasing the MLB games, you know, the video games, okay? And people started laughing. He goes, no, listen to me, okay? So you get those MLB games for your video, the PSI or whatever, and PSA, and what you do is you put it in, but you turn it to the mode of where you're behind home plate, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what you...
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, I walked the dog, washed the car, and took the kids to practice. All that's left to do is get new summer clothes for my family.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, they'll love Old Navy summer styles. And right now, during Old Navy's thank you event, get 30% off your entire purchase, 40% off when you use your Old Navy card.
40% off?
That's right. Don't have a card? Open one today in store and save like a super mom at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
It pays to be mom. I'm going to Old Navy now.
High Fashion. Old Navy.
Valid 5/10 to 5/14. 40% off for subject to credit approval. See stores for details and exclusions.